As our brother brings us the message this evening, I know that he appreciates your prayers. We all do when we come up here to speak. And ask that you would give him your kind attention as he brings us the message this evening. Our brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. We always need everybody's prayers, not only when we talk, but when we go about our life as well. We need everybody's prayer to pray for one another, and we do. We're quite a praying group. The Lord hears those prayers and answers them, and so we have a truly wonderful Lord. I'd like to commence our talk tonight on page 112, page 112. And we'll start with verse 103. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto him continually by day, and give thanks unto his holy name by night. And you know, that's what we are to do, is to pray daily. Just like Daniel of old, you know, he prayed in the morning, he prayed at noon, he prayed in the evening. The Lord hears those prayers. He wants you to pray to him. But, you know, human nature is we're forgetful. And there is that angel of light out there that is not from the Lord, but of the adversary, that teaches man not to pray. But as it says here, pray unto him continually by day. You know, as you go about your activity, you can say a silent prayer to the Lord for help, for blessings for somebody, or whatever it be. But pray continually. Let your hearts rejoice. Behold, how great the covenant of the Lord, how great the condescension unto the children of men. And because of his greatness and his grace and mercy, he has promised unto us that our seed shall not utterly be destroyed according to the flesh, but that he would preserve them, and in future generations they shall become a righteous branch unto the house of Israel. So, that is the way it is. It is Lehi here, you know, Nephi. They speak here to their brothers and sisters, telling them to keep the commandments of God, that a promise is made to them that all will be well in the end. But they must keep the presence of the Lord and keep his commandments while they walk in this life. As it says here, his grace and mercy. You know, he has great grace and mercy for us today as well. He has promised unto us that our seed shall not utterly be destroyed, and that's true. We know that they will yet come into the fold of God. Yet ahead of us is yet future. Not far away, but it is yet future. I'd like to back up here to page 78 and read a verse or two here. 78, verse 6 I will start with. Now, this is Lehi that is talking now. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise. And, you know, the Lord led him out of Jerusalem to a chosen land because of Lehi's righteousness. You know, he's Manasseh. And a promise was made to little Joseph of old that his seed never would be destroyed. There would be a remnant that would remain. So verse 6 again. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God has covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. And that's this country, you know. It's a very promised land. Truly, it has been blessed by the Lord and that, and we have reaped the rewards of that blessing because the people in times past have given heed to the Lord. Yea, the Lord has covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever, and also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hands of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that they shall be none come unto this land, save they shall be bought by the hand of the Lord. And so, it's a promised land. A promise is made to Lehi that the Lord would remember his seed and bless them. The promise was made to little Joseph as well, that the Lord would always remember his seed because of his faithfulness to the Lord and keeping all of his commandments. Little Joseph really suffered a great deal. You know, he's sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt, and he remains there for 13 years, a slave, working for others. And all that time, he was very faithful to the Lord and kept his commandments and prayed to the Lord for help. And the Lord heard his voice and blessed him. It is not many people that will go through the affliction like he does that would not turn to the ways of the world. But he remained faithful to the Lord in all of that time. And the Lord blessed him. As it says on the brass plates, there is not many blessings that are greater than what was given to Joseph. And so here, Lehi, you know, he says he's led to a promised land. That's this country. And they prospered on it. Now, the city of Nephi, or the land of Nephi, is down in Guatemala, is where it's at, down in that area. And that is quite a productive country down there. You know, really don't freeze. They can grow several crops a year if they work it right. And that, there's good rain in that. But, you know, when people don't keep the commandments of God, the Lord withholds those blessings and that upon them. But as long as they're faithful, the Lord prospers them. I'd like to go over to page 133, and we read a little bit more there. And I would read a couple of verses here, beginning with 126. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Panthus and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You know, the Lord is in the process of that. He's brought Israel back. You know, they become a nation in 1948. They budded out, and they're a nation again. As I've mentioned before, they were destroyed in 70 A.D., and they were scattered to the four winds, all because they wouldn't keep the commandments of God. And the Lord gets unhappy with people when they will not obey him and follow him as they should. But, you know, as they obey him and follow him, he blesses them and he prospers them time after time. All you have to do is search the scriptures and you see that he blesses them, and then they turn their back upon him. They repent and turn back to the Lord, and he blesses them again. It's the same way at all time, it seems like, even among the Nephites here. When they were prosperous, they were following the Lord and obeying the Lord in all things and keeping His commandments. When they obeyed His voice and listened to His voice, then they were blessed. The plentiful things, the rain and the seasons come as they should, and the crops produced because they obeyed the Lord. And when they didn't, then the rain ceased and they didn't prosper. The Lamanites came on in upon them because of their wickedness. And you know they were told that if they didn't repent and follow the Lord, that the Lamanites would eventually come against them and destroy them because of their unrighteousness. But here, the Lord would recover His people a second time. It's in the process of happening right now. The natives here in America as a whole really hasn't come back yet to the Lord. You know, we have a working among the Mayas. That's a growing, and there's more people there all the time accepting the Lord, and down there, they're growing. But here in this country, they have not as yet wakened to the Lord as I would hope to see Him do. But they will, by and by. But as it says here, He will gather them together from the four corners of the earth, wherever they be. He will gather them in again to their lands, both at Jerusalem and both here upon this land as well. He will gather them. I'd like to go over here on page 702 and read here just a little bit. At 702, verse 18, I'll start with. Now, this is Mormon here. At the end of his time here, he is seeing the destruction of his people. He's brokenhearted that his people have turned their back upon the Lord. And he's unhappy. As it says here, "And my soul was rent with anguish because of the slaying of my people." You know, there's been millions of them destroyed because they turned their backs upon the Lord. I'll start again on 18. "And my soul was rent with anguish because of the slaying of my people, and I cried, O ye fair ones, how could you have departed from the ways of the Lord? O ye fair ones, how could you have rejected that Jesus who stood with open arms to receive you?" But you know, people do. The ways of the world. The call of the world. The natural man becomes an enemy to the Lord. And they turn their back upon Him, just like Israel did. And then Judah followed. Think of the anguish that was in Jeremiah's heart that he had to prophesy to the people about their iniquities and their evil ways, and that they were to return to the Lord. But you know, they raised their arms against Him and called Him a false prophet and wanted to put Him to death and all of that. But the Lord was with him. Just as the Lord was here with the prophets here in the Book of Mormon, Mormon himself. "Behold, if you had not done this, you would not have fallen. But behold, you are fallen, and I mourn your loss." Yes, he mourned their loss. And they turned their backs upon the Lord. And you know, Mormon, earlier, you know, he ceased to be a leader for his people because of their iniquities and that. And he finally related a little later on and become the leader again. And at the very last, you know, he takes up the sword to defend his people, and he's destroyed along with the other people. and Moroni takes over his son. But because Mormon is destroyed there, that doesn't mean that he lost his soul to the Lord. That doesn't mean that at all. O you fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it that you could have fallen? You know, they didn't listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They closed their ears so they could not hear, like it speaks of Laman and Lemuel, you know, Nephi talking to them. They hardened their hearts so they could not hear the Spirit talk to them. I'll read 20 here again. O you fair sons and daughters, you fathers and mothers, you husbands and wives, you fair ones, how is it that you could have fallen? But behold, you are gone, and my sorrows cannot bring your return. And the day soon cometh that your mortal must put on immortality, and these bodies are now moldering in corruption, must soon become incorruptible bodies. And that's true. They will, in the resurrection, be incorruptible at the resurrection. But you know, whenever everyone dies, they leave this Lord, and they go, you might say, to the spirit world, paradise, or outer darkness. The good and the bad on one side and the good on the other side in paradise. And so at the resurrection, they all receive a perfect body. No matter who, they all are resurrected, become a perfect body and to live forever. But those that are on the left hand feel sorry for them, for that is a terrible place to be for eternity. On verse 22, and then you must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to your works. And if it so be that you are righteous, then are you blessed with your fathers which have gone before you. And so he's trying to get them to return, but they won't. They continue on in their wicked ways. And they will be judged by the things that they do in this life, like we ourselves will be judged by the things we do in this life as well. Oh, that you had repented before this great destruction had come upon you. For behold, you are gone, and the Father, yea, the eternal Father of heaven, knoweth your state. And he doeth with you according to his justice and mercy. And that is true. We are judged according to his judgments. That which he has told us, that which we have before us in these scriptures, we are commanded to repent of those things that we do that are wrong and to obey him, just like these people were. There is no exceptions. Evil cannot go into the kingdom of heaven, but only righteous. And so, as he says, his heart is anguished, it's rent, it's tore. He's sick at heart. Have you ever been sick at heart, my brothers and sisters? Well, probably most people here have at one time or another. I have more than once been sick at heart. And I can understand what he says. He's sick at heart. He's brokenhearted of those things. His people are going the way of the world. And turn over to page 759 here. Now this is in the book of Ether. But not only did the Nephites, as you might want to say, turn their backs upon the Lord, but also it was the Jaredites as well that were blessed for so many years here in this land. As the Lord told the brother Jared that he would raise up a great nation here, a very great nation, and he did. And yet it seems like in the good things of life, the pleasant things, the easiness of the life, that a lot of people stop seeking out the Lord in prayer and thanking Him for all the good things of life. They forget those things, and they forget to seek the Lord and to praise Him and to glorify Him as they should because of the easiness of life. A little bit like this nation we have today, it's the same way. We've been blessed and prospered, and they are going the way, just like the Nephites and the Lamanites. The wicked were destroyed. You know, the Lamanites become more righteous than the Nephites. And so the Lord told them, if they become wicked, the Lamanites would destroy them. And they were more righteous than the Nephites. But that is the way. You know, Israel went that way. Judah went that way. Seemed like all nations, sooner or later, turn their backs upon the Lord. And in the goodness of life, He's merciful. And there are those that want to follow Him and to keep His commandments and obey Him on all things. But sometimes we close our ears to the Spirit of the Lord. And we don't always do what we are commanded to do. We ignore the Spirit of the Lord. That we should not do, but it does happen. Well, let me start here on 103 here and read a few verses. 103 through 106. And it come to pass that when they had all fallen by the sword, save it were Corymanthor and Shiz, behold, Shiz had fainted with the loss of blood. And it come to pass that when Corymanthor had leaned upon his sword, that he rested a little. He smote off the head of Shiz. And it come to pass that after he had smote off the head of Shiz, that Shiz raised upon his hands and fell, and after that he had struggled for breath, he died. And it come to pass that Corymanthor fell to the earth and become as if he was dead. He had no life. You know, after all those days of fighting, such not little to eat. So, because of their turning their backs upon the Lord brings upon them their own condemnations. And so let us turn back now to page 202 and read here a little more. You know, the Lord tells Corymanthor he will be the last one of the Jaredite nations to live, that all others would be destroyed. And you know, I say that, Ether wasn't, but of the people there. You can imagine the anguish and the discord and unhappiness that was in Ether's heart. To see his nation destroyed to the last man. Very brokenhearted he must have been. But it doesn't mention much about him in that respect at all. But still, he must have been brokenhearted. A very righteous individual, Ether was. And so he tells Corymanthor he'll be the last one, and then all the others will be destroyed. In that, I've heard other people, and I don't know why, but they mention that this only happened here in this little valley here where they had the fight, that he was the last one, but others left and went north and whatever, and they mixed in among the Lamanites and the Nephites later on in life. But that is false. That never happened. It's just like the Lord said that Corinth would be the last one that they were destroyed. It says that more than once here in the Book of Mormon. But on page 202, I'll start with verse 34 and read here several verses. "And it come to pass that the people of Zarahemla and Mosiah did unite together, and Mosiah was appointed to be their king. And it come to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with engravings on it, and he did interpret the engravings by the gift and power of God. And they give an account of one Corianthemer and the slaying of his people. And Corianthemer was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. Now, sometime probably after 590 B.C., this took place. Because the Mulek, that's who it's speaking of here, really, they landed on the east coast. The Nephites landed on the west coast. And so they would never have met any of the Jaredites, but Corianthemer did meet the people that the Lord brought over last, the people of Mulek. And he, as it says, he dwelt with him for 9 moons, and then he passed away. And that was the end of the Jaredite nation. It also spake a few words concerning his father. And his first parents come out from the tower at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people. And the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgment, which are just. And their bones lay scattered in the land northward." Now the land northward here would be the land that's north of the Isthma there. This all transpired down in Mexico here that they had. And that's where they found all these bones, is right north of the Isthma there, where there is a lot of lakes and that. In fact, they got some pretty good lakes down there, pretty good size. But, you know, as it says, they were destroyed. They found these bones and scattered, and they found this stone. Now, I've never read anywhere, and I don't know how, Mosiah come in contact or in possession of the interpreters to translate the language off of the stone that was brought to him, that he done it by the power of the Lord. So, you know, the severity fell upon the people at the Tower of Babel because of their wickedness as well. And they were scattered throughout the world because they thought, well, they'll make a name for themselves and they'll build a tower in the kingdom of heaven so that they'll always be remembered. And so they were scattered because of their disregard for the Lord, and the Lord brought Jared to this land, a promised land that we live upon, a promised land. And truly it hath been blessed and prospered like no other nation in the world. We have prospered in all of these things today. We've enjoyed a good life. And yet, the good life, the people of this nation are turning their backs upon the Lord and worshiping other gods than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of creation. They are not worshiping our Lord and Savior, but the Creator they need to worship. And so we ourselves need to be careful to walk humbly before the Lord, that he can bless us and prosper us in all of the things that we do. And he does. He looks over us. Everyone here can testify to the blessings of the Lord that has been upon them in this life, of the good things that the Lord has blessed them with, and that. But anyway, Chrysanthemum, he lived among the people of Mulek for 9 moons. And then after, or later on, it says, you know, they landed there. And that's about, as it gives, somewhere close to Hill Cumor, that the Nephites called Hill Cumor, and the Jaredites called Hill Moriah. Moror? Something like that. It's one and the same hill, but the two nations called it a different name. But it's the same hill where the Mormon picked up some of the records and then buried him back and that. So let us move on to page 183 here. That's back into the book of Jacob. And we'll start on verse 92. And now all the trees of my vineyard are good for nothing, save it be hewed down and cast into the fire. You know, he's scattered his tribes. He's planted these trees hither and there, and they've all brought nothing after a while. And at first they were fruitful, but now they've gone the ways of the world. They've rejected their Lord. I did plant in a good spot of ground, yea, even that which was choice unto me above all other parts of the land of my vineyard. He's speaking of the Nephites. And thou beheldest that I also cut down that which clumbered this spot of ground, that I might plant this tree instead thereof. Now this tree which he cut down, we know, as I read, was the Jaredites. It's the one that he cut down, that he could plant the Nephites. And thou beheldest that a part thereof brought forth good fruit, and a part brought forth wild fruit. And so, well, we all know that the Lamanites were the part that did not bring forth good fruit. The Nephites were the ones that brought forth the good fruit, and they followed them. But there is a time or two that the Nephites become a very righteous people. The Lord blessed them, and they become really more righteous than many of the Nephites. If you remember Samuel, the Lamanite, he was a Lamanite. And it was at that time a lot of them were very righteous, and they kept the commandments of God in all things. I'd like to back up here to verse, page 79. Verse 22 I'll read here, and read a few verses. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received so great a blessing from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth and all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by his infinite goodness into the promised land, the precious land of promise. And so, there, Nephi here, or it's Lehi exhorting to him, excuse me, but he's telling them that the Lord has brought him here, that he will prosper upon this land of promise, but that they keep the commandments of God. These commandments of God we can never get away from. In the Book of Mormon here, it speaks there in 3 Nephi, time after time, Christ is telling them, You must keep my commandments. And we must. He wants us to obey him, and he will bless us for doing that. Behold, I say, if the day should come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer, and their God, behold, the judgment of him that is just shall rest upon them. And that's what happened to the Jaredites. That's what happened to the Nephites. The just judgments of the Lord rested upon them. They rejected his commandments, and so they were removed. It is no difference for the Gentile of this nation. It's going to be the same way. The wicked are going to be removed. His church will not. It will stay forever. And we will go into the millennium by and by. Verse 23. Behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer, and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. Yea, he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give unto them power, and he will take away from them the land of their possession, and he shall cause them to be scattered and smitten. And we know, you know, that is true. The natives were scattered from one end of this country to other end of the country. They've been put on reservations. They just lost their freedom of running all over the country. They'd become nations of themselves, but you know, they were restricted in a way to what they had. And they were scattered and smitten, just like the Lord prophesied to them that would happen when they reject the Lord and their Savior. It happens to everybody. There's no exceptions. To us as individuals, it all happens as well. The Lord corrects us, just like we as parents correct our children when they do wrong. He corrects us as well. I'd like to back up a little bit more, but we can see from the prophecies here and the promises that has been made that that as they obey, he blesses. As they disobey, they receive the corrections and judgments of God as it comes upon them. I'd like to go to page 36 here and read a little bit. And read here on verse 176. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of captivity and have been lifted up by the power of God above all other nations upon the face of the land, which is choice above all other lands. And you know, Nephites, they were blessed. The Jaredites were blessed but when they obeyed the Lord. We have been blessed when we have obeyed the Lord as well, but it's been going downhill for many years. But nevertheless, when the people were obedient to the Lord, all is well. Verse 177, which is the land which the Lord God has covenanted with thy father, that his seed should have for the land of their inheritance. Wherefore, thou seest that the Lord God will not suffer that the Gentiles will utterly destroy the mixture of thy seed, which is among thy brethren. And so, even though we have scattered the tribes of Manasseh here, of Lehi's children, his seed is still here among the people. They have not been destroyed. Though they've been scattered and smitten, they're still here. And they will be gathered by and by ahead of us. The Lord is in the process of doing that now. Neither will he suffer that the Gentiles shall destroy the seed of thy brethren. And so the Gentiles will not destroy Lehi's seed, or Laman and Lemuel, whatever. Now, this is Nephi that he's talking to. The Lord will scatter him. He sees all of that. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that state of awful woundness, which thou beholdest they that they are in, because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church whose foundation thou hast seen. And so we know that this church that he sees that is so evil, that great and abominable church, that the Lord here will establish his church here. And that is us that he's speaking of here. Wherefore, saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And so we know that he will bless them. You know, they will help build that temple in Missouri by and by. They will be when they accept. It's yet a little in the future yet. It has not transpired yet. There are some things that is to transpire. But the promise is to Nephi and also to Lehi and to little Joseph that the Lord would bless his people and that he would bring them forth in the latter days to that understanding of his ways, and they will rejoice in that. I'd like to turn over here to page 674 and read verse 29 and 30. And it come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled, and if he endure unto the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. Now, throughout the scriptures, we are instructed to repent of those things we do. The Lord will bless us, and we will be judged, everyone here, according to the things that you do in this life, the good and the bad, to repent of those things that we do wrong, and to turn away from them, and to follow the Lord in all of his ways. Verse 30, and he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewed down. And you know, the Nephites were hewed down, the Jaredites were hewed down, the Gentiles here are going to be hewed down, those that are rejecting the Lord. It'll be the righteous that will always be saved, and they will be blessed. And cast into the fire from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he has given unto the children of men. And we have his word. We are to obey him in all of our ways, to humble ourselves before him, and to keep his commandments as he has given to us, that we can be light upon the hill to those that are around us. Thank you.
Our brother brings us the message this evening. I know that he appreciates your prayers. We all do when we come up here to speak. And ask that you would give him your kind attention as he brings us the message this evening. Our brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. We always need everybody's prayers, not only when we talk, but when we go about our life as well. We need everybody's prayer to pray for one another, and we do. We're quite a praying group. The Lord hears those prayers and answers them, and so we have a truly a wonderful Lord. I'd like to commence our talk tonight on page 112, page 112. And we'll start with verse 103. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto him continually by day, and give thanks unto his holy name by night. And, you know, that's what we are to do, is to pray daily. Just like Daniel of old, you know, he prayed in the morning, he prayed at noon, he prayed in the evening. The Lord hears those prayers. He wants you to pray to him. But, you know, human nature is we're forgetful. And there is that angel of light out there that is not from the Lord, but of the adversary, that teaches man not to pray. But as it says here, pray unto him continually by day. You know, as you go about your activity, you can say a silent prayer to the Lord for help, for blessings for somebody, or whatever it be. But pray continually. Let your hearts rejoice. Behold, how great the covenant of the Lord, how great the condescension unto the children of men. And because of his greatness and his grace and mercy, he has promised unto us that our seed shall not utterly be destroyed according to the flesh, but that he would preserve them, and in future generations they shall become a righteous branch unto the house of Israel. So, that is the way it is. It is Lehi here, you know, Nephi. They speak here to their brothers and sisters, telling them to keep the commandments of God, that a promise is made to them that all will be well in the end. But they must keep the presence of the Lord and keep his commandments while they walk in this life. As it says here, his grace and mercy. You know, he has great grace and mercy for us today as well. He has promised unto us that our seed shall not utterly be destroyed, and that's true. We know that they will yet come into the fold of God. Yet ahead of us is yet future. Not far away, but it is yet future. I'd like to back up here to page 78 and read a verse or two here. 78, verse 6 I will start with. Now, this is Lehi that is talking now. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise. And, you know, the Lord led them out of Jerusalem to a chosen land because of Lehi's righteousness. You know, he's Manasseh. And a promise was made to little Joseph of old that his seed never would be destroyed. There would be a remnant that would remain. So verse 6 again. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God has covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. And that's this country, you know. It's a very promised land. Truly, it has been blessed by the Lord. And we have reaped the rewards of that blessing because the people in times past have given heed to the Lord. Yea, the Lord has covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever, and also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hands of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that they shall be none come unto this land, save they shall be bought by the hand of the Lord. And so, it's a promised land. A promise is made to Lehi that the Lord would remember his seed and bless them. The promise was made to little Joseph as well, that the Lord would always remember his seed because of his faithfulness to the Lord and keeping all of his commandments. Little Joseph really suffered a great deal. You know, he's sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt, and he remains there for 13 years a slave working for others. And all that time, he was very faithful to the Lord and kept his commandments and prayed to the Lord for help. And the Lord heard his voice and blessed him. It is not many people that will go through the affliction like he does that would not turn to the ways of the world. But he remained faithful to the Lord in all of that time. And the Lord blessed him. As it says on the brass plates, there is not many blessings that are greater than what was given to Joseph. And so here, Lehi, you know, he says he's led to a promised land. That's this country. And they prospered on it. Now, the city of Nephi, or the land of Nephi, is down in Guatemala, is where it's at, down in that area. And that is quite a productive country down there. You know, really don't freeze. They can grow several crops a year if they work it right. And that, there's good rain in that. But, you know, when people don't keep the commandments of God, the Lord withholds those blessings and that upon them. But as long as they're faithful, the Lord prospers them. I'd like to go over to page 133, and we'd read a little bit more there. And I would read a couple of verses here, beginning with 126. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Panthus and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You know, the Lord is in the process of that. He's brought Israel back. You know, they become a nation in 1948. They budded out, and they're a nation again, as I've mentioned before. They were destroyed in 70 A.D., and they were scattered to the four winds, all because they wouldn't keep the commandments of God. And the Lord gets unhappy with people when they will not obey him and follow him as they should. But, you know, as they obey him and follow him, he blesses them and he prospers them. Time after time, all you have to do is search the scriptures, and you see that he blesses them, and then they turn their back upon him. They repent and turn back to the Lord, and he blesses them again. It's the same way at all time, it seems like, even among the Nephites here. When they were prosperous, they were following the Lord and obeying the Lord in all things and keeping his commandments. When they obeyed his voice and listened to his voice, then they were blessed. The plentiful things, the rain and the seasons come as they should, and the crops produced because they obeyed the Lord. And when they didn't, then the rain ceased and they didn't prosper. The Lamanites came on in upon them because of their wickedness. And you know, they were told that if they didn't repent and follow the Lord, that the Lamanites would eventually come against them and destroy them because of their unrighteousness. But here, the Lord would recover his people a second time. It's in the process of happening right now. The natives here in America as a whole really hasn't come back yet to the Lord. You know, we have a working among the Mayas. That's a growing, and there's more people there all the time accepting the Lord, and down there, they're growing. But here in this country, they have not as yet wakened to the Lord as I would hope to see him do. But they will by and by. But as it says here, he will gather them together from the four corners of the earth, wherever they be. He will gather them in again to their lands, both at Jerusalem and both here upon this land as well. He will gather them. I'd like to go over here on page 702 and read here just a little bit. At 702, verse 18, I'll start with. Now, this is Mormon here. At the end of his time here, he is seeing the destruction of his people. He's brokenhearted that his people have turned their back upon the Lord, and he's unhappy. As it says here, and my soul was rent with anguish because of the slaying of my people. You know, there's been millions of them destroyed because they turned their backs upon the Lord. I'll start again on 18. And my soul was rent with anguish because of the slaying of my people, and I cried, O ye fair ones, how could you have departed from the ways of the Lord? O ye fair ones, how could you have rejected that Jesus who stood with open arms to receive you? But you know, people do. The ways of the world. The call of the world. The natural man becomes an enemy to the Lord. And they turn their back upon him, just like Israel did. And then Judah followed. Think of the anguish that was in Jeremiah's heart that he had to prophesy to the people about their iniquities and their evil ways, and that they were to return to the Lord. But you know, they raised their arms against him and called him a false prophet and wanted to put him to death and all of that. But the Lord was with him. Just as the Lord was here with the prophets here in the Book of Mormon, Mormon himself. Behold, if you had not done this, you would not have fallen. But behold, you are fallen, and I mourn your loss. Yes, he mourned their loss. And they turned their backs upon the Lord. And you know, Mormon, earlier, you know, he ceased to be a leader for his people because of their iniquities and that. And he finally related a little later on and become the leader again. And at the very last, you know, he takes up the sword to defend his people, and he's destroyed along with the other people. And Moroni takes over his son. But because Mormon is destroyed there, that doesn't mean that he lost his soul to the Lord. That doesn't mean that at all. O you fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it that you could have fallen? You know, they didn't listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They closed their ears so they could not hear, like it speaks of Laman and Lemuel, you know, Nephi talking to them. They hardened their hearts so they could not hear the Spirit talk to them. I'll read 20 here again. O you fair sons and daughters, you fathers and mothers, you husband and wives, you fair ones, how is it that you could have fallen? But behold, you are gone, and my sorrows cannot bring your return. And the day soon cometh that your mortal must put on immortality, and these bodies must be, are now moldering in corruption. must soon become incorruptible bodies. And that's true. They will, in the resurrection, be incorruptible at the resurrection. But you know, whenever everyone dies, they leave this Lord, and they go, you might say, to the spirit world, paradise, or outer darkness. The good and the bad on one side, and the good on the other side, in paradise. And so, at the resurrection, they all receive a perfect body. No matter who, they all are resurrected, become a perfect body, and to live forever. But those that are on the left hand, feel sorry for them, for that is a terrible place to be for eternity. On verse 22, and then you must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to your works. And if it so be that you are righteous, then are you blessed with your fathers which have gone before you. And so he's trying to get them to return, but they won't. They continue on in their wicked ways. And they will be judged by the things that they do in this life, like we ourselves will be judged by the things we do in this life as well. Oh, that you had repented before this great destruction had come upon you. For behold, you are gone, and the Father, yea, the eternal Father of heaven, knoweth your state. And he doeth with you according to his justice and mercy. And that is true. He does. We are judged according to his judgments. That which he has told us, that which we have before us in these scriptures, we are commanded to repent of those things that we do that are wrong and to obey him, just like these people were. There is no exceptions. Evil cannot go in the kingdom of heaven, but only righteous. And so, as he says, his heart is anguish, his rent, it's tore. He's sick at heart. Have you ever been sick at heart, my brothers and sisters? Well, probably most people here have at one time or another. I have more than once been sick at heart. And I can understand what he says. He's sick at heart. He's brokenhearted of those things. His people are going the way of the world. And turn over to page 759 here. Now this is in the book of Ether. But not only did the Nephites, as you might want to say, turn their backs upon the Lord, but also it was the Jaredites as well that were blessed for so many years here in this land. As the Lord told the brother Jared that he would raise up a great nation here, a very great nation, and he did. And yet it seems like in the good things of life, the pleasant things, the easiness of the life, that a lot of people stop seeking out the Lord in prayer and thanking him for all the good things of life. They forget those things, and they forget to seek the Lord and to praise him and to glorify him as they should because of the easiness of life. A little bit like this nation we have today, it's the same way. We've been blessed and prospered, and they are going the way, just like the Nephites and the Lamanites. The wicked were destroyed. You know, the Lamanites become more righteous than the Nephites. And so the Lord told them, if they become wicked, the Lamanites would destroy them. And they were more righteous than the Nephites. But that is the way, you know, Israel went that way, Judah went that way. Seemed like all nations, sooner or later, turn their backs upon the Lord. And in the goodness of life, he's merciful. And there are those that want to follow him and to keep his commandments and obey him on all things. But sometimes we close our ears to the Spirit of the Lord. And we don't always do what we are commanded to do. We ignore the Spirit of the Lord. That we should not do, but it does happen. Well, let me start here on 103 here and read a few verses. 103 through 106. And it come to pass that when they had all fallen by the sword, save it were Corymanthor and Shiz, behold, Shiz had fainted with the loss of blood. And it come to pass that when Corymanthor had leaned upon his sword, that he rested a little. He smote off the head of Shiz. And it come to pass that after he had smote off the head of Shiz, that Shiz raised upon his hands and fell, and after that he had struggled for breath, he died. And it come to pass that Corymanthor fell to the earth and become as if he was dead. He had no life. You know, after all those days of fighting, such not, little to eat. So, because of their turning their backs upon the Lord brings upon them their own condemnations. And so let us turn back now to page 202 and read here a little more. You know, the Lord tells Corymanthor he will be the last one of the Jaredite nations to live, that all others would be destroyed. And you know, I say that, Ether wasn't, but of the people there. You can imagine the anguish and the discord and unhappiness that was in Ether's heart. To see his nation destroyed to the last man. Very brokenhearted he must have been. But it doesn't mention much about him in that respect at all. But still, he must have been brokenhearted. A very righteous individual, Ether was. And so he tells Corymanthor he'll be the last one, and then all the others will be destroyed in that. I've heard other people, and I don't know why, but they mention that this only happened here in this little valley here where they had that fight, that he was the last one, but others left and went north and whatever, and they mixed in among the Lamanites and the Nephites later on in life. But that is false. That never happened. It's just like the Lord said that Corymanthor would be the last one, that they were destroyed. It says that more than once here in the Book of Mormon. But on page 202... I'll start with verse 34 and read here several verses. And it come to pass that the people of Zarahemla and of Mosiah did unite together, and Mosiah was appointed to be their king. And it come to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with engravings on it, and he did interpret the engravings by the gift and power of God. And they give an account of one Corymanthor and the slaying of his people. And Corymanthor was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. Now, sometime probably after 590 B.C., this took place. Because the Mulek, that's who it's speaking of here, really. They landed on the east coast. The Nephites landed on the west coast. And so they would never have met any of the Jaredites, but Coriantumr did meet the people that the Lord brought over last, the people of Melech. And he, as it says, he dwelt with him for 9 moons, and then he passed away. And that was the end of the Jaredite nation. It also spake a few words concerning his father. And his first parents come out from the tower. At the time, the Lord confounded the language of the people. And the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgment, which are just. And their bones lay scattered in the land northward. Now, the land northward here would be the land that's north of the Isthmus there. This all transpired down in Mexico here that they had. And that's where they found all these bones, is right north of the Isthmus there, where there is a lot of lakes and that. In fact, they got some pretty good lakes down there, pretty good size. But, you know, as it says, they were destroyed. And they found these bones and scattered, and they found this stone. Now, I've never read anywhere, and I don't know how Mosiah come in contact or in possession of the interpreters to translate the language off of the stone that was brought to him, that he done it by the power of the Lord. So, you know, the severity fell upon the people at the Tower of Babel because of their wickedness as well. And they were scattered throughout the world because they thought, well, they'll make a name for themselves and they'll build a tower in the kingdom of heaven so that they'll always be remembered. And so they were scattered because of their disregard for the Lord, and the Lord brought Jared to this land, a promised land that we live upon, a promised land. And truly it hath been blessed and prospered like no other nation in the world. We have prospered in all of these things today. We've enjoyed a good life. And yet, the good life, the people of this nation are turning their backs upon the Lord and worshiping other gods than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of creation. They are not worshiping our Lord and Savior, but the Creator they need to worship. And so we ourselves need to be careful to walk humbly before the Lord, that he can bless us and prosper us in all of the things that we do. And he does. He looks over us. Everyone here can testify to the blessings of the Lord that has been upon them in this life, of the good things that the Lord has blessed them with and that. But anyway, Coriantumr, he lived among the people of Melech for 9 moons. And then after, or later on, it says, you know, they landed there. And that's about, as it gives, somewhere close to Hill Cumorah that the Nephites called Hill Cumorah, and the Jaredites called Hill Moriah. Moror? Something like that. It's one and the same hill, but the two nations called it a different name. But it's the same hill where the Mormon picked up some of the records and then buried him back and that. So let us move on to page 183 here. That's back into the book of Jacob. And we'll start on verse 92. And now all the trees of my vineyard are good for nothing, save it be hewed down and cast into the fire. You know, he's scattered his tribes. He's planted these trees hither and there, and they've all brought nothing after a while. And at first, they were fruitful, but now they've gone the ways of the world. They've rejected their Lord. I did plant in a good spot of ground, yea, even that which was choice unto me above all other parts of the land of my vineyard. He's speaking of the Nephites. And thou beheldest that I also cut down that which clumbered this spot of ground, that I might plant this tree instead thereof. Now this tree which he cut down, we know, as I read, was the Jaredites. It's the one that he cut down, that he can plant the Nephites. And thou beheldest that a part thereof brought forth good fruit, and a part brought forth wild fruit. And so we all know that the Lamanites were the part that did not bring forth good fruit. The Nephites were the ones that brought forth the good fruit, and they followed them. But there is a time or two that the Nephites become a very righteous people. The Lord blessed them, and they become really more righteous than many of the Nephites. If you remember Samuel, the Lamanite, he was a Lamanite. And it was at that time a lot of them were very righteous, and they kept the commandments of God in all things. I'd like to back up here to verse, page 79. Verse 22 I'll read here, and read a few verses. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received so great a blessing from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth and all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by his infinite goodness into the promised land, the precious land of promise. And so there, Nephi here, or it's Lehi exhorting to him, excuse me, but he's telling them that the Lord has brought them here, that he will prosper upon this land of promise, but that they keep the commandments of God. These commandments of God we can never get away from. In the Book of Mormon here, it speaks there in 3 Nephi, time after time, Christ is telling them, you must keep my commandments. And we must. He wants us to obey him, and he will bless us for doing that. Behold, I say, if the day should come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer, and their God, behold, the judgment of him that is just shall rest upon them. And that's what happened to the Jaredites. That's what happened to the Nephites. The just judgments of the Lord rested upon them. They rejected his commandments, and so they were removed. It is no difference for the Gentile of this nation. It's going to be the same way. The wicked are going to be removed. His church will not. It will stay forever. And we will go into the millennium by and by. Verse 23, behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer, and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. Yea, he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give unto them power, and he will take away from them the land of their possession, and he shall cause them to be scattered and smitten. And we know, you know, that is true. The natives were scattered from one end of this country to other ends of the country. They've been put on reservations. They just lost their freedom of running all over the country. They'd become nations of themselves, but you know, they were restricted in a way to what they had. And they were scattered and smitten, just like the Lord prophesied to them that would happen when they reject the Lord and their Savior. It happens to everybody. There's no exceptions. To us as individuals, it all happens as well. The Lord corrects us, just like we as parents correct our children when they do wrong. He corrects us as well. I'd like to back up a little bit more, but we can see from the prophecies here and the promises that has been made that that as they obey, he blesses. As they disobey, they receive the corrections and judgments of God as it comes upon them. I'd like to go to page 36 here and read a little bit. Read here on verse 176. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of captivity and have been lifted up by the power of God above all other nations upon the face of the land, which is choice above all other lands. And you know, the Nephites, they were blessed. The Jaredites were blessed when they obeyed the Lord. We have been blessed when we have obeyed the Lord as well, but it's been going downhill for many years. But nevertheless, when the people were obedient to the Lord, all is well. Verse 177, which is the land which the Lord God has covenanted with thy father, that his seed should have for the land of their inheritance. Wherefore, thou seest that the Lord God will not suffer that the Gentiles will utterly destroy the mixture of thy seed, which is among thy brethren. And so, even though we have scattered the tribes of Manasseh here, of Lehi's children, his seed is still here among the people. They have not been destroyed. Though they've been scattered and smitten, they're still here. And they will be gathered by and by ahead of us. The Lord is in the process of doing that now. Neither will he suffer that the Gentiles shall destroy the seed of thy brethren. And so the Gentiles will not destroy Lehi's seed or Laman and Lemuel, whatever. Now this is Nephi that he's talking to. The Lord will scatter him. He sees all of that. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that state of awful woundness, which thou beholdest they are in because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church whose foundation thou hast seen. And so we know that this church that... He sees that it's so evil, that great and abominable church, that the Lord here will establish his church here. And that is us that he's speaking of here. Wherefore, saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And so we know that he will bless them. You know, they will help build that temple in Missouri by and by. They will be when they accept. It's yet a little in the future yet. It has not transpired yet. There are some things that is transpire, but The promise is to Nephi and also to Lehi and to little Joseph that the Lord would bless his people and that he would bring them forth in the latter days to that understanding of his ways, and they will rejoice in that. I'd like to turn over here to page 674 and read verse 29 and 30. And it come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endure unto the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. Now, throughout the scriptures, we are instructed to repent of those things we do. The Lord will bless us, and we will be judged, everyone here, according to the things that you do in this life, the good and the bad, to repent of those things that we do wrong and to turn away from them and to follow the Lord in all of his ways. Verse 30, and he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewed down. And you know, the Nephites were hewed down, the Jaredites were hewed down, the Gentiles here are going to be hewed down, those that are rejecting the Lord. It'll be the righteous that will always be saved, and they will be blessed. And cast into the fire from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he has given unto the children of men. And we have his word. We are to obey him in all of our ways. To humble ourselves before him and to keep his commandments as he has given to us, that we can be light upon the hill to those that are around us. Thank you.